We probably need rebounds. So 1 John 1:9, rebound if necessary. If not, prepare yourself mentally for the second hour and we'll get started. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to fellowship in your word. May we take what we have heard this morning and metabolize it and use it. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Before we get started, I got one letter I want to read you from our ministry. There's background here. This gentleman studied with us for the entire time. Actually, one of our first persons who got Joe's notes back in 2007. So what's that, 16 years ago? And he wrote every 2 weeks, never asked for a thing, just more doctrine, more doctrine. And then he one day disappeared. It's been 2 years ago. So just all mail came back, and I didn't know if he had died. And it's one of those people that you think, well, shoot, he gave it up and quit studying. And while he got home, who knows what happened to him. I got a letter from him when I got home. And it says, Brother Deacon Gary Watson, that's what he always wrote, every letter. Me and God have not forgotten you, Pastor Joe, your families, and the church. It has been almost 2 years in June since I left prison at Tucson, Arizona. I kept you all in my prayers daily. I always wanted to write you, but God has kept me busy doing God's work. I still have the Bible you sent me and all the other Bible study materials you gave me over the years, and continue to study them. The same as I did when I was in prison. He has tough handwriting, so it's hard to see. Read it. I still have the picture you sent me. Joe, we took a picture one day up in front of the flag because they didn't have access. They wanted to know what we looked like. So after about 10 years, I finally fulfilled his request, and we sent. I still have the picture you sent me. I look better then. I'm well. My family, sons, daughters, all grandkids are all doing well. It is not easy out here in Washington, D.C., with so much violence, homeless, people everywhere, young people out of control, at home, schools, in the streets, killing, shooting everywhere, young people dying and going to jail. But I am at my family's home, continuing to do well, studying God's word and praying for you daily. Give your family, Pastor Joe, the church family, my love. I'm looking forward to, in prayers, looking forward to hearing from you. You can call me. You can write me. He gave me all that. I have not forgotten your birthday. You can't get rid of me, our God. Your church family are my family's to the end. All of you have been chosen to be blessed. I will stay in touch and pray for your health and those around you and the whole church. Thank you for all you did for me while I was in prison. God knows your heart and what a blessing you have been to me and to others. Your friend, Bernard. Bernard Davis. Yep, Bernard Davis. Very encouraging. He's plugging away. Here he is. Out of the clear blue, I get a letter. It brought tears. I came home and Laura said, are you crying? I said, no. I said, I'm just kind of emotional. She goes, why? I said, you know, I've been wondering for 2 years, what happened? Did he just go back and get back into doing what he was doing? And I said, when I read this letter in the car, I said, I lost it. I said, I was so excited. You know, and we have another gentleman, David. I didn't get permission to tell you his last name, but I had to email him from Shreveport to tell him what movie you watched 30 times. And he's plugging away. He's an Army vet. He studied with us, I guess, 15 or 16 years. And he's in El Paso doing great. He just had surgery and is doing fantastic. Okay, we're going to get started again and see if I can't bore everybody for another few minutes. Okay, in summary, epistemology is how we know what we know. And that's a very simplified understanding. In other words, what do we know and what is the process of knowing it? And normally epistemology deals in the realm of human and philosophical knowledge. That's the way it's normally used. It really is descriptive when you come down to the theological understanding of doctrine and how we gain spiritual knowledge and how it changes our thinking. Jude is brilliant in this particular verse because in these few phrases, he covers things that have taken years for us to understand in this church. And I'm just giving you a little summary that has been taught, what has been taught for so many years. So what I've been talking about is spiritual epistemology, epistemi. But that's not what it means here. Here's the limits of what the unbeliever can know in epistemology. They cannot know anything other than what their five senses and physical, mental capacity comprehends. That's what the unbeliever has for epistemology process, for the process is five senses and physical, mental capacity to comprehend. These false teachers have no spiritual capacity for spiritual knowledge. It's not there and it can't be there. They have no human spirit. They have no filling of the Holy Spirit. They can only learn and have knowledge of natural things. So in our context, the verb epistemi is nothing more than humanistic knowledge, the knowledge that any human being can have about anything in the world, including abstract philosophical knowledge. Epistemi refers to how an unbeliever knows what he knows from the surrounding natural world or from his own mental capacity. So epistemi is in distinct contrast to oida, and that's why it's ouk oida. They cannot know what they do not know. Epistemi is all they can know. They can't know any spiritual knowledge. Jude uses these two different verbs to know as a contrast, to highlight the difference between the believers, between what believers should know and sometimes don't and sometimes do, and how they come to know it. It's the difference between metabolizing of spiritual information and the processing of physical information. So what exactly then is the knowledge to which epistemi refers? The text says it's what the false teachers know, epistemi, naturally. Naturally as opposed to spiritually. Hope this makes sense. Naturally is the adverb phusikos. It means by instinct, knowledge by instinct, knowledge that they come by naturally. So they arrive at humanistic knowledge or epistemi by natural instinct. And when we think of instinct, what do we think about? Animals, right? They do things by instinct. This natural instinct is knowledge validated by human logic or contact with surroundings or environment. You learn by the contact that you have around you, your senses, or in this case, epistemi may be learned by prolonged practice and repetition in that environment. Athletics, that's a way you learn. Repetition, repetition. My grandson plays goalie, hundreds of shots every time he goes. Repetition, repetition. So what is the environment that these folks learn from? It's the natural world. It's the world around us. It's humanism. It's watching CNN. It's reading the newspaper. It's everything that's around you. The instinctive knowledge is limited to physical things, not spiritual. When I talk about spiritual, I don't mean mysticism or Ouija boards or reading your horoscopes. I'm talking about Bible doctrine, what's contained in the Word of God. It's not learned through a spiritual apparatus like Operation Z. I was just fooling. I did say it in the second session. Okay? It's learned naturally. It's not. It's learned instinctively using the brain and the senses. Remember I told you that the unbeliever, they have a body and a soul. And then that soul is mentality. Okay, they have mentality. And they have a conscience. the subconscious, and they have volition too. They can accept Jesus Christ as their Savior by making a good decision, or they can make a bad decision. They just have a dead human spirit, so the Holy Spirit can't teach them. So there's mentality. Every human being has a soul, and every soul has mentality and a conscience and a volition. So the natural thought process is limited to the physical, natural world, and there's the limitation on epistemology for the unbeliever. This is a complete validation of the biblical illustration of Operation Z, the necessity of regeneration. Go back over there. Your human spirit comes alive, activated, whatever you want to say, at regeneration. That's what it is. And then the pipeline opens and 39 irrevocable things flow right down. And one of them is you become a member of the royal family of God. Christ comes to live in you, the Shekinah glory. One revocable fellowship, in and out, in and out. And hopefully as you get older, study more doctrine, you're in more than you're out. So this is a complete validation of biblical illustration of Operation Z, the necessity of regeneration, and the necessity of a human spirit, and the necessity of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, false teachers and unbelievers cannot present spiritual information that can cause spiritual growth without the filling of the Holy Spirit in Bible doctrine. False teachers and unbelievers cannot process spiritual information. Therefore, they cannot grow from their natural phusikos knowledge. They cannot grow from it. The false teachers and unbelievers are believers in reversionism, may present an academic understanding of doctrine, but that's why they're so deceptive. But it will still be interspersed with human viewpoint and falsehood. And you see, that's why churches today are changing what they believe. I got to get more people in. So I know, let's go with diversity. That's a great idea. Well, we take homosexuality. Well, we accept that. Hey, we accept it too. The church is open. Anybody can come in here and sit down, shut up, and fake it till you make it, just like me and everyone else. Hate the sin, not the sinner. If you come in here and be quiet and learn Bible doctrine, everyone's welcome. But these churches completely forget what Romans 1 says, especially Romans 1:26. They change their whole theology to be included. And then you talk to them about the gospel, and you think, boy, I never heard anything like that. If that was the case, I'd have been in heaven a long time ago. I never even had to pay attention. Because you don't have to do anything. And by that I mean accept Christ, not do any works, okay? Don't go telling Joe I said that. Because I didn't, all right? But these people just make things up. Why? Because they don't have any epinosis. And many of them, I'm convinced, they don't have a human spirit either, and you can fill in that blank on your own. Jude has laid out the problem with the false teachers. It's clear what the deal is. Next, their physical knowledge is like that of what? Brute beast. Brute here is the nominative plural of logos. We have the negative A, and then logos means knowledge, or it's how we get knowledge, our logic. So the better translation of logos would be without reason or irrational. Irrational is instinctive in the sense that it is subjective, humanistic thinking. It's knowledge that hinges on feelings or emotions, but it cannot be spiritually appraised. Go to Happy Clappy Church, what is it built on? Emotion. After 20 minutes of singing the same chorus over and over again, you're worn out, but you're on fire. Hands are in the air. People are rocking and rolling, and they do this in prison too. I am a professional when it comes to praise music. That's why I always talk to them and say, do one hymn for me, like the old Rugged Cross or something, because this other stuff just wears me out. And they're going to go 20, 25 minutes. There's no getting them down. I might have told you this before. I was at one prison, Greenville in Illinois. This is true. So I go in there, and they've got both rows are full. There's probably 100 people, 50 in each one. And this group gets up, and they do their, not all of them, but their band gets up, and they do two songs. And I stand up in the back room to come forward. I stand in the back so I can watch my back. And they come and sit down, and this group stands up and goes up. I'm thinking, they do two songs. They sit down, I stand up, they get up. And they go up and sing two songs. I'm thinking, what's going on? I get up again, this group gets up. When that two songs were done, I ran down the aisle and said, it's over. We're not doing any more music here. No one would stop, because if this group did it, then this group did it. There's a lot of divisions in prison. And this group was not going to do it if they did it. And it drove me crazy. I had to stop it. I was dumbfounded. And then you know what the best part was? When I said it was over and I got in front of the little podium, half of both sides got up and left. It was the bands. They were gone. I'm serious. I'm looking out there thinking, where's everyone going? I haven't even said anything. They're gone. It was over with. Crazy. It's true, though. Never seen anything like that since. Irrational is instinctive in the sense that it is subjective humanistic thinking. It's knowledge that hinges on feelings or emotions, but it cannot be spiritually appraised. A logos is a knowledge that has no fixed criteria. It's relative. It is inconsistent. It is at times even contradictory. This is humanistic knowledge derived from subjectivity and relativism. So, a logos is relative. Bible doctrine is absolute spiritual reality. It is divine viewpoint versus human viewpoint. Human viewpoint is a logos. Human viewpoint is epistemi. And that's what they speak evil of. They can't know it as you can. They can't appraise it spiritually. So a logos then carries the same connotation as epistemi, learning and knowing by instinct, rather than learning and knowing with the objective spiritual apparatus illustrated once again by the grace apparatus for perception, Operation Z. We have one more word to look at here in verse 10. We actually have a couple. That's a typo. Along with logos is the noun Zoon. It's translated beast, but it actually refers generally to a living thing or a being, something or someone that is alive. Zoon. However, in general, it denotes things that are not exactly human, but they're not really animals of the regular kind. Now that you're confused, they are beings that are different. Different types mostly. For example, Zoon is sometimes used for angelic creatures, as in Revelation 4, 6 through 11, and the cherubim at God's throne. In classical Greek literature, this word is used for a miraculous bird called the phoenix. Not human, but not really animal either. But in our context, it is different, since Zoon describes human beings, the false teachers in the churches. So it must refer to apparent human beings as beasts. They are in a class with the unreasoning, who learn and know simply by instinct, and who have a distorted relative knowledge based on physical criteria only. Got that? So these are people whose knowledge is purely humanistic, because they are unbelievers who have rejected Christ and who have rejected Bible doctrine. So the Zoon beasts refer to humans. But without the ability to process spiritual things, Jude makes absolutely sure who these false teachers are in the minds of his readers, and I hope in your minds as well. I hope over these 10 verses you get a good idea of what Jude's dealing with and what we're dealing with in America today. They are the ones who cannot grow spiritually, who do not want to grow spiritually, who have rejected Christ and with nothing to say to Christians. And yet the churches in America are full of them today. You say, well, not the Baptist church I go to or the E-Free or the Presbyterian. Have you looked at, some of the other mainline denominations where they wear robes and stuff like that? And church I told you about in Georgia, where they said the Bible is not even relevant anymore. You don't need to know anything about it. I saw a video this week someone sent me that shows them reading where they're taking an oath to transgender in the church. Someone here sent this to me. I watched this thing. Taking an oath that they will honor transgender, that they were in the church. And there's a lady, person with a robe on, and a guy with a robe on. And these people are standing there reading, and they're repeating. They're on big screens. I pledge. It was like Satanism. It really was. I mean, and this is in a church. They're not teaching Bible doctrine. I still have the video if you want it. I can text it to you. Unbelievable. So it must refer to abhorrent human beings as beasts. They are in a class with the unreasoning who learn and simply know by instinct and who have a distorted relative knowledge based on physical criteria only. So these are people whose knowledge is purely humanistic because they are unbelievers who have rejected Christ and who have rejected Bible doctrine. So the Zoan beasts refer to humans, but without the ability to process spiritual things, Jude makes absolutely sure who these false teachers are in the minds of his readers. They are ones who cannot grow spiritually, who do not want to grow spiritually, who have rejected Christ and with nothing to say to Christians. They're dressed well. They speak well. They have wonderful personalities. They're great at dinner parties, but they speak no truth. They have nothing for the believer in Jesus Christ. You want to learn Bible doctrine? Right here is where you need to be. Or in churches like this. The fixed criterion of spiritual knowledge is from God, who is immutable and unchanging. He is absolute knowledge that is fixed and unchanged. And yet that's this criteria for so many churches, and it's not about the doctrine that objectively teaches about God, about salvation, about our spiritual life, about eternal life. It's how I feel about it. And when it's how you feel about it, you start to define God in your terms, human terms. And we cannot define God in human terms. It's so inadequate. And it's false. What happens when you do that? Then you start to see God with your attributes. And then what does that lead to? You go, why did God let that happen to me? Stay away from it. Believers without doctrine are no different than the brute beasts that teach them. They are affected by false teachers. And that's what they become. They still go to heaven. They still have eternal life. But they have no spiritual growth and they have no desire for spiritual growth, even though they have the complete capability to do so. Believers all over this world know absolutely nothing of Bible doctrine. They've not grown one inch since the moment they expressed faith alone in Christ alone. Because they've not heard, nor do they have any interest in learning Bible doctrine. They have been filled with the Holy Spirit. They have not been filled with the Holy Spirit because they don't know about rebound. Their human spirit is essentially dormant because the Holy Spirit is not teaching the doctrine they're not hearing. You get it? Holy Spirit's not teaching the doctrine they're not hearing. And so there can be no spiritual growth. That's where we are today. I've told you before, there are believers all over St. Louis, all over this country today, who know God through Christ Jesus. They've accepted Christ, but they do not understand the God they know because they've never darkened the doors of a Bible class. They've never had a pastor teacher stand up here and bloviate like ours does. They've never picked up electronic contrivance, and they never will, and they have no interest, hence the shape we're in our country. False teachers in churches rely on feelings and emotions rather than teaching the truth of Bible doctrine. You don't think it's true? Go to a normal service. And I promise you, there'll be more hands in the air than you can count. I don't know what they're doing, but that's what they do. And this one really gets me, like they're waiting to receive something. That's why Jude uses this terminology. They know naturally like brute beasts. He is speaking of physical cognitive ability versus spiritual cognitive ability. It's that simple, right there. Our expanded translation thus far in verse 10. On the one hand, these false teachers continually malign things they do not understand, like Bible doctrine and fellowship with God. But on the other hand, things they understand by instinct as illogical creatures, degeneracy, by means of these things functioning inside the cosmic system. So what is the result then of those who are instinctive, unreasoning beings, as Jude calls them? Verse 10c, the last phrase, in these things they corrupt themselves. That which the brute beast delight in, which is human viewpoint. Ironically, this is what ruins them in many ways, but starting with their eternal future. You know what? They have no idea how long eternity is. They're missing the boat, many of them. They should go back and listen to Shreveport Conference this week. They corrupt themselves. That's the present passive indicative of the verb thyroo. It's a hard word to pronounce because it's got two diphthongs in it, Joe. It means to corrupt themselves or to spoil, to ruin, to corrupt or deprave. The passive voice here means that they are receiving the corruption or the ruin from their subjective knowledge apart from Bible doctrine. The end product then of instinctive, unreasoning believers is subjective knowledge without any spiritual ability at all. Y'all didn't get this over to you in your notes, so you'll get it the next go around. They have no ability to live beyond their natural instincts. Your life is unstable because everything around you is relative. Your thinking is relative. You hope so. You hope that you have the truth. You hope that you're going in the right direction, but you don't know for sure. When I use hope there, I don't mean elpis, confidence, expectations. I mean hope I have no idea. So I didn't put any Greek here because it's not elpis. These people are unstable. You even, unbelievers are like that. Humanistic believers, unbelievers, and believers who have no doctrine. Boy, so you're a believer, you're going to heaven. Well, I don't know for sure. I know you've spoken to people like that. What do you mean you don't know for sure? Well, I'm just, you know, I hope so. I hope I've been good enough. I hope, well, you go to church? Well, I hope to go to church soon. Church I was going to, I really didn't like, you know. They talk too much. They go on, and the pastor's not any good. And, you know, I mean, they got all these excuses. They have no confidence in anything. Has your children been evangelized? Well, I hope they have been. Did you ever give them the gospel? Well, I hope I have. I mean, I'm being serious. I'm not being funny. Your life is unstable because everything around you is relative. Your thinking is relative. You hope so. You hope that you have the truth. You hope that you're going in the right direction. You hope you're going to heaven, but you don't know for sure. Have you ever asked someone who said, I'm a Christian? You say, how do you know? I have. It's amazing. I'll tell you one. Have you ever asked anybody how you can be a better Christian? You got to read the Bible more. Okay, if I read the Bible more, will I be a better Christian? Well, you got to give to the church. If I give to the church, will I be a better Christian? Well, you got to sing in the choir. If I sing in the choir, will I be a better Christian? And they just stare at you. Well, what about if I'm baptized? Okay. If I'm baptized, am I a better Christian? It goes on and on. They have no answer. You can't be a better Christian if you're not in fellowship. It starts with filling of the Holy Spirit. You say that to them and they go, what? They have no idea. And the same is true if you ask them, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? How do you know? Well, because I'm a good person. That's relative, right? Well, I went to church. That's relative. A lot of people go to church. I just told you about the church I saw in this video, a real video, not made up, where they're at church and they're not talking about the Bible. They're swearing an oath to transgenderism and all that stuff. Folks, that has nothing to do with the absolutes of salvation. You need to know that if you don't know it already. Faith alone and Christ alone. What think ye of Christ? And that's what it comes down to. And you say, well, can you lose your salvation? That's another thing they say. I hope not. I don't know. I probably can. I've not been very good. Or here's this number one answer. I haven't been to church lately, so maybe I can. That's a horrible way to live, folks. What a tragedy. If you don't have any idea what you believe as a believer, that's a sad thing. You have no confidence when you get up or when you go to bed. It starts with getting to Bible class under a qualified pastor, and yet we have empty seats, probably because I'm here. But God's word does not come back void. These false teachers that Jude is describing will experience ruin, just like the unbelieving Israelites we studied earlier, the rebelling angels we studied earlier, and the Sodomites in Jude 5 through 7. They're going to be destroyed the same way. So you see, he is simply filling in the blanks. He, Jude, is filling in the blanks on what these false teachers are like. And now we come to Jude 11. Guess what? We got through one verse in 2 hours. Our expanded translation of verse 10. On the one hand, these false teachers continually malign things they do not understand, like Bible doctrine and fellowship with God. But on the other hand, things that they understand by instinct as illogical creatures, degeneracy, by means of these things functioning inside the cosmic system, they receive corruption and depravity. So now Jude 11 in the New American Standard. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. New American Standard. Got a lot of work to do there. We're going to go back to the Apocrypha like we did earlier and clear up this when we get there. Hope it's made sense. I've given it my best. We're going to attack it again sometime in the future, and we'll pick up at Jude 11. Let's close in prayer. And now, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made so clear the difference between us as believers and those who teach what is false and those who learn what is true. And we pray, Father, that you will not take, that we will not take for granted what you have provided for us and your grace, the ability to understand your word. We thank you, Father, for this wonderful information, and we pray that it will become the very fabric of our souls. And we ask this in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Guide me, all thy great Jehovah. Stand as we sing.